Hey, it's Gabriel Brown here with another installation to my podcast on how credit made my imaginations come true. Today, I want to talk to you about another business strategy that I think many of us, when we're forced to deal with this issue, mishandle it if we get emotional. What do you do if you get an invoice that you know is inflated or fake, meaning the services that were supposed to be rendered were not rendered, or if the invoice was for more than what you requested, or the services that were rendered on the invoice or stated on the invoice were not rendered? What do you do with that invoice? Well, instantly you would think, and I know exactly what you're thinking because I used to think it too. Don't pay the invoice, dispute the invoice, get in contact with the management team for that company and tell them that what you feel about the invoice is incorrect, why the invoice, you're not going to pay it, all of these things, right? That's the natural response that you would have. But let me just give you another perspective. Let's say you got that invoice and the company, after calling them, they're not responsive. They say they're going to do an investigation. Let's first isolate what kind of invoice it is. Let's say it's a business invoice. It's something for your business. Okay? Let's say it's for telephone services, right? No, I'll give you even a better example. Canon copier service. I'm going to use a situation that I handled, a real life situation. I got an invoice from Canon and I knew it was incorrect because the copier machine, they claimed that we had used 3,800 copies in 1 month. Well, the actual copier was in storage, so that couldn't be true. So I saw the invoice. I contacted Canon. I said, hey, you guys have us for a few thousand copies that we made, some color and some black and white. And because we're leasing the machine, of course, they're charging us per copy. And I said, this invoice is inaccurate. And they were like, how so? And I said, well, we didn't use the copier. We didn't use it any. I said, I know we have a maintenance contract for the copier, which is about $50 a month, and we're required to pay that whether we use the copier or not. I get that. But I'm talking about the $300 and some odd that you guys are charging for copies that we didn't make. And so the representative, of course, is the front line, you know, customer service or customer support representative. And she was adamant about, well, the invoice must be true because the machine sent us a notification of how many copies were made. So I said, well, ma'am, I'm telling you, we didn't use the copier. And she says, you didn't use it at all? And I said, no, we didn't use it at all. So I waited to give her the silver bullet. I said, so how could the copier have notified you that we've used 3,000 plus copies if we didn't make any copies? So she said, well, maybe we need to send maintenance out. Maybe there's a glitch in your copier. How many copies do you think is our estimation off? And I said, 100% off. We didn't use any. So she could not understand how we could not have used any copies. She thought you had to have used some because you've been with us for 10 years as a client and we've never had an issue paying our bill. So what happened this month where you didn't use any copies at all? That didn't make sense to her. So finally, I said to her, there's no need to send out anyone for maintenance because the machine is not here. The machine is in storage. She says, oh, how long has it been in storage? I said for over a month. So then she said, well, how could this have happened? How could the machine have notified us? I said, I don't know how it could notify you of copies being made. It's in storage, wrapped up. It's not even connected to any power. Well, let me tell you what happened. These accounts receivable reps, they have the ability to do an estimated invoice. If your copies fall off to such a degree that it seems to be abnormal, they will create an estimation of what your average charges were for the last 12 months for copies, and they will issue a invoice for that until you call in and complain and say there's a challenge. Well, I'm not sure if they do that for every scenario like mine, but for our office, that's what they did. Now, we didn't find that out until about 3 months went by, where no matter how much we called in about the first month of mysterious charges, we got a new invoice the next month for about the same amount of copies when we're in dispute with the company over an invoice for the previous month. So this went on for about 4 months. We're still getting invoices and the copiers in storage. Finally, we did some research and got a hold of one of the regional managers. The regional manager looked at all the emails back and forth between the manager of accounts receivable, the assistant manager of accounts receivable, the accounts receivable rep or accounts payable, and we're trying to figure out, when is someone going to realize that copiers in storage? These invoices can't be honored and they can't be real. So, with that said, would you have paid those invoices knowing your copier is in storage and knowing they were completely fake invoices? I sense that everyone that's listening to this podcast will say, no, I would not pay those invoices. Well, let me give you another perspective that I said a few minutes ago I was going to give to you. What if those invoices cause your business credit, your Dun & Bradstreet, to go from an 80 plus down to a 50, because each day that you're late, okay, your Dun & Bradstreet credit report is going to be affected. Now, you're thinking that these support staff people in accounts receivable are going to be able to handle that. No, they don't. Even some of the people in line positions in these major corporations can't fix that. That now becomes another issue for another department. So now you have a $200 or $300 a month bill on an account that you've had for 10 years or how many years, and your Dun & Bradstreet is being impacted. There's other collateral damage that could happen as a result of that. You could have loans that are assigned, or their underwriting are assigned to a certain credit score, a certain Dun & Bradstreet score, Experian Smart Business score, SBSS Liquid Cash score, Equifax Business score. And if those scores fall below that threshold, those loans could be called in full, because that was a part of the agreement, your loan contract. But because you want to do the right thing in your mind that, hey, I don't owe this, I'm not going to pay this, and now you're Dun & Bradstreet and your credit scores are impacted negatively, now the lenders that are reviewing you monthly, quarterly, are accessing your Dun & Bradstreet, and they see your score fell below the threshold, now they send a letter to call in the loan. Now you're trying to explain all of that to them, and they're not hearing it. That's none of their business. you were supposed to keep your scores at a certain level, and you didn't. Now, not only do you have challenge credit, you're frustrated because you don't want to pay a loan or have a loan called on you that you had time to for it to mature, but now is being called instantly. I say protect the long game, not the short game. The short game is I'm going to fight this. I'm not going to pay for the copies that I didn't make. That's the short game. The long game is to do what I did. Continue to pay the bill monthly as you have been, because that was about the average you were going to pay anyway. And then fight to get your money back. But don't risk impairing your credit in the meantime. Now you have to get an attorney involved to get your credit corrected. Now you're thinking, I'm going to file a lawsuit because this negatively impacted me. And now you're in a long out, drawn out battle over something that was short game that might have cost you $900 or $1,000. But if you had paid it, then got an attorney and maybe, you know, said how this negatively impacted your business, how this negatively impacted your relationship with that vendor, and may ask for, you know, you may ask for, you know, something. I can't even imagine what you would get for something like that. I wouldn't reach out to an attorney for that. So that's exactly what I did. I paid the bill. I paid the 3 months. And I proved to them that they were wrong. But can you believe it took 12 months before they actually were able to give me the refund? Now, what would have happened if I had let this linger for 12 months? It would have ruined the business credit. It would have probably gone into collection and even gotten worse. And the only thing I would have gotten at the end of that short game outlook was I was proven right, but I had to fix so much collateral damage that it may have cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans, potential loans. It may have impeded me from getting new business with new vendors, merchant accounts, computer accounts, maybe an account with Dell or Apple for new computers for the office, new voice over IP accounts for the latest technology to make our phone systems better, all over a copier. My father used to tell me there's the difference between being right and doing right. There's a difference between being right and doing right. So being right in this scenario is the short game play, which was, I don't owe this. The copier's in storage. I'm not going to pay it. That's being right. Doing right is always for the long game. Let me pay this to protect my business, protect my future. And then let me prove that the money is owed back to me, and then get the money back. And then once I prove that, I can also maybe pursue some additional compensation for whatever damages an attorney think I may have suffered. So the point of this podcast is to get you to focus on what do you do if you get an invoice that you know is incorrect, completely wrong, made up, or doesn't necessarily match the services you received. I say play the long game. In the long run, you'll thank me and thank yourself for handling things right or doing right and being right. So I play both. Being right is, yes, I shouldn't pay this because I don't have to because it's inaccurate. And being right is, I want to prove that, or doing right is, I should say. So let's start over. Being right is, yes, I don't want to pay this. I don't owe it. But you pay it, which is doing right, to protect yourself for the long game, and then fight to get your money back so you don't further damage yourself by something that you were morally right, ethically right, and, you know, on principle you were right. But now you have to explain yourself to every vendor you go to about why was your credit score for your business below 80, below 70, below 60, or however low it falls. Okay, so be very, very conscientious of the long game. Pay the invoice. If you can't get a resolution by contacting the company and making sure that they know that the invoice needs to be reversed, it needs to be zeroed out, or it needs to be adjusted, whatever your scenario is. If they're not hearing you, and it's going to take more than the allotted amount of time to keep your personal credit or business credit intact, pay it. It takes 7 years to get your personal credit back if you don't do credit repair. And if you're lucky to get all of the items that are negative off of your report, it could take months to restore your business credit. How long would it take you to earn the money that you paid? It wouldn't take months in many cases. It wouldn't take 7 years. The opportunity costs for new money, new loans, new vendors, how long would it take to recoup that opportunity cost when you lose that because of you trying to be right? Instead of playing long game, you play short game. All right, so that's my podcast for the day. I hope it was helpful, and go forth and be more prosperous this year than you were last year. And I look forward to speaking with you again on the next podcast.